Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Everybody say, no more shame. No. Jesus took our shame. How many people know when God created man in the very beginning, there was no shame in mankind? There was no shame in man at all. Genesis 2:25 says concerning the man and the woman, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Talking about Adam and Eve. They were not ashamed. There was no shame. Shame didn't come into the picture until man sinned. And what was the sin? He tried to do things his way instead of God's way. God says, no. Don't go that way. That'll end in death. If you go that way, you're going to die. You're going to die. The day you eat of that, you're going to surely die. Don't go that way. And God told him, go this way. But what did he do? He went against the will of God. He went contrary to the plan of God for his life, thinking, oh, this is the way to fun and excitement. This is the way to freedom. This is the way to fulfillment. This is the way to everlasting joy. And he got exactly what God said he was going to have. He brought curses upon himself. He brought curses upon a beautifully blessed life, a beautifully blessed earth. He brought curses into it. And now, instead of being unashamed, now mankind is ashamed. Now they're running, they're hiding. As a result of the shame and all the fear, there's strife now between the man and the woman. Right now they're arguing and they're bickering. And this has continued on from the very beginning when man sinned and fell in the very beginning. It's been going on and on and on. People have been clothed, wrapped up in shame, shameful living, shameful lives. People walk around more ashamed of themselves than they lead on. People are bound by shame. But the good news is Jesus came. And he took our sins. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. And in taking our sins upon himself, he also took our shame. Right? You see that over in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now think about this. We're talking about following God's plan will lead us into joyful living. Right? Jesus knew that. And so notice, there was joy that was set before him. There was joy set before him. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, if you just look at the cross, you think, oh, that's a terrible plan for Jesus' life. Right? That's a terrible plan that God the Father had for Jesus. He had a cross for him. And if Jesus just looked at the cross, well, he probably never would have fulfilled what he came to do. He never probably would have fulfilled the plan of God for his life. We know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before going to the cross, Jesus was greatly distressed and sorrowful in his soul. And he was praying to the Father. He was resisting the temptation of not going to the cross. Resisting that temptation. Because he knew the kind of pain and suffering that was involved in it. So how did he then overcome it? How did he endure the pain and the suffering that he knew was awaiting him at the cross? He looked beyond it. He looked beyond it to the purpose for it. He looked beyond it to the joy that was set before him. That's how he overcame in the Garden of Gethsemane. It tells us it's right here in Hebrews 12:2. He overcame the temptation to draw back from the cross by thinking past the cross to the joyful blissful plan and purpose of God for his life. Not just his life, but for all of us. To bring us all into his kingdom. To bring us all to salvation. To deliver us all from the power of death. Hallelujah. So he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Watch this. Despising the shame. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of you know Jesus took our shame? He took it. He took it. But here's the awesome thing about it. He wasn't ashamed of taking our shame. I said he wasn't ashamed to take our shame. He despised the shame. What does it mean to despise? It means to treat lightly. To treat lightly. Treat with contempt. That's how Jesus looked on the shame. He knew that he was better than that. He saw beyond that. What did he see? He saw himself sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He saw himself seated in the highest place of all creation. Even when all of mankind's shamefulness came upon him. Even though he was confronted with all this shame, look at you, look at you, look at you. He didn't allow himself to be overcome by that shame. He despised it. He treated it lightly, looking past it, knowing that even though right now he's being mocked, he's being ridiculed, people are looking at him, laughing at him, saying, if you are the Christ, come down off the cross. Come on. Show us how powerful you are. Show us how wonderful you are. And even though he could have been completely ashamed, Jesus despised the shame. He treated it lightly, looking past the shame to the fact that his day's coming. And all these people that are mocking him, they're going to know. Before you know it, they're all going to know. They're all going to know. You know, if you're following God's plan for your life, even though right now or at different points during that process of walking out God's plan for your life, you might look like a failure. You might look like to man that, you know, you're not going anywhere. You're wrong. You're missing it. You're cursed of God. You're rejected of God. You're not doing the right thing. Even though there's a lot of things that could come that could tempt you to be ashamed. When you know that you're following God's plan for your life, you can lift your head up high and say, well, if you don't see it now by faith, you'll see it someday. You'll see it someday face to face. Amen. When I'm standing before Jesus in a nice white robe and he puts that crown on my head and says, well done. Somebody blow the trumpet. Stevie is here. Come on, huh? So we're not afraid to take a back seat. We're not afraid to go away that seems lowly and despised of men. We're not afraid of that. We're not ashamed of that. Why? Because we know if we're following him, we will not be put to shame. I will not be put to shame. I will not be ashamed. Jesus took all my shame when he went to that cross. And he overcame it the same way you and I overcome it. You despise it. Treat it lightly. Shame is a curse. It came into the earth as a result of sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He's redeemed us from the curse of shame. So now, therefore, we don't have to be ashamed of anything. We don't have to be ashamed of anything. Glory to God. In fact, if you go over here to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what he says here in verse 26. Let's go back to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So even though the crucifixion doesn't look like a powerful thing. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Well, is that true? Well, let's look around. Look around at one another. Notice that. He says, man, he says, not many wise among you. Not many wise according to the flesh, that is. Not many mighty according to the flesh among you are called. Not any noble among you. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Watch this. To put to shame. To put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You and I are not ashamed to be looked upon as foolish according to the flesh. Doesn't matter how we look or how we're perceived according to the flesh, we understand that Christ is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And now, just as you are, you put to shame those that are wise according to the flesh. We're not ashamed. I said, we're not ashamed, but we put to shame that which is highly esteemed among men, that which is looked up, even though we might be despised. When we're confident in who we are in Christ Jesus, we know I am called of God. I am called to Him. Then we can go forth and not be afraid to appear foolish, because we know in the end, we put to shame what people call wise. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm not afraid to appear foolish before men. Amen. Why? Because Christ is the power of God. Go to Romans chapter 1. He says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Notice that. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. And therefore what? I am not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the gospel. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel. Why aren't you ashamed? Because I know something about it. It is the power of God unto salvation. How do you know that? Because I've experienced it. I've experienced, how many people experienced God's salvation firsthand? Huh? Has it delivered you? Yes. I mean, we have tasted, we have seen, we have experienced the power of the gospel. And when we understand what a powerful gospel we have, we're not going to be ashamed of it. We're not going to be ashamed, again, to identify with it and to share the good news with others. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. It is good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed, therefore, of my life, because my whole life is about the gospel. It's all about the Word of God. I am building my life on the Word of God. I'm building my life on the gospel. So I have no shame. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a child of God. Come on. And I don't have to be afraid that I will be put to shame in sharing the gospel. I don't have to be afraid of being put to shame, because he says, I'll not be put to shame. So I can go out and I can gather people into the kingdom of God like living stones to build God a house made up of people. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a temple that is not made with stone. He's looking for a temple made up of human beings That's what he's looking for. His house that he lives in is made up of souls. It's made up of many lives. And you and I need to go out and we need to gather stones into God's temple and build God's house. Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. How many will believe on the Lord Jesus this morning? You will not be put to shame. That is God's word to you. We got to have confidence that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus. He took my shame and I will not be put to shame no matter what. So man, I can go out and I can boldly do the will of God for my life. I believe this is a big reason why people don't go forth and do the will of God for their life. It's because they're afraid of being put to shame. That it's not gonna turn out well for them. And so they come up with other means by which to live their life. You and I will not be put, we don't have to fear being put to shame. Isn't that what he said to us? We don't have to worry about it. We won't have to be put to shame. Now, that doesn't mean you might not be shamefully treated by people. People might shamefully treat, but you don't have to be ashamed of it. In fact, we see that with the early church over in Acts chapter 5. Acts, the 5th chapter, they were at times treated extremely shamefully for preaching the gospel. But I love their attitude. In Acts chapter 5 and in verse 40 it says, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So here these religious leaders had the apostles come in and they beat them. Shamefully treated them. And it says in verse 41, so they departed from the presence of the council, having their tails tucked between their legs, just so ashamed of what had happened to them. Huh? They were just so depressed. So depressed. So much of depression is just shame. People are shameful. People feel ashamed. And it's a depressing thing. They're ashamed of their life. They're ashamed of what's happened. They're ashamed of where they're at. And shame is what is really behind most people's depression. But thank God you and I don't have to be ashamed. Even when we're shamefully treated. Even when circumstances appear to be shameful. You and I don't have to be ashamed. These apostles were shamefully treated, but notice what it says. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In other words, they weren't ashamed of being shamefully treated. They took it as an honor. They took it as an honor. They took it as a privilege that they were able to suffer shame for his name, for the gospel's sake. Hallelujah. They didn't allow that to cause them to get depressed and down about their lives. Well, if I was doing the right thing, this wouldn't be happening. Well, they were doing the right thing, and a lot of negative things seemed to happen. But yet they didn't even take it as a negative thing. They just took it as an opportunity to worship and praise God. They what? They despised the shame. They treated it lightly. They weren't overcome by it. They didn't take that as a reflection of who they were and what they were doing. Even though the world might be ashamed of the church and ashamed of the gospel, the church must not be ashamed of the church and the gospel. The church has to rise up and know what they got and know who they're standing before and know that if they're right in the sight of God, then there is nothing to be ashamed of. No matter how men might look down on you, it don't matter if God's looking up to you. If God looks up to you, if God's excited about you, if God's excited about what you're doing, if you're pleasing Him, man, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Hallelujah. Some of you say, I will not be put to shame. Psalm 71:24 says, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my hurt. Notice, he says, I'm not ashamed to talk of God's righteousness. I'm not ashamed to talk the Word of God. I'm not ashamed to talk the gospel. Anybody that would try to hurt me for it, they are brought to shame. They are brought to shame. Psalm 119:46 says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. I will speak before kings. I will speak before politicians. I will speak before the leaders of this nation. Man, I was just so blessed by Ben Carson. You know, he was on the news the other night and he stood up and he just started talking about Jesus. Just started declaring Jesus. And how Jesus is his role model in life and how he patterns his life after Jesus. So there's just certain things he wouldn't do because Jesus is his role model. Man, that's being unashamed. Before an audience of many people who would think you're foolish. You are going to look foolish saying that. You are going to ruin your name. You're going to ruin your reputation. Nobody is going to respect you if you stand up and begin to talk like that about Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus promised Ben Carson, you will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame. If he can do it, what a great example for you and I. To stand up and say, Jesus. Friend, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in our gospel. We're not just going around trying to win people over with our personality. We're not trying to help people in our own strength. It's not all on us. It's on God. It's on His Word. Our confidence is in His Word. When we speak the name of Jesus, when we speak the Word of God, man, there is power. We got to have confidence that when the gospel's going forth, it's touching hearts. It's affecting people in a much deeper way than you could just affect them just by you speaking something in your own strength. You just speaking your own wisdom, the wisdom of this world, something that you might think of. When you're speaking the gospel, it has the power of the Holy Spirit backing it up. Amen. And you will not be put to shame. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. How many people know there's a harvest field out there for you and I? It's a harvest field of souls that you and I are to bring in to the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us that we are not going to be ashamed if we go out to reap that harvest. If we go out there sharing the good news, seeking to bring people into the kingdom of God. But in fact, the thing that will cause shame in God's kingdom is us not going forth at harvest time to bring people into the kingdom of God. By not reaping this harvest of souls that are out there, that will bring shame. Why? Because the only reason why we wouldn't do it is because we're ashamed. And so when we're ashamed, we're going to bring shame on the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? So we need to rise up in faith and say, I will not be put to shame. I will not be ashamed. I am not afraid to share the gospel. Psalm 22, verse 5. He says, they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. How many people trusted in Jesus? You cry out to him, trusting in him. He says, you will not be ashamed. Psalm 25, 2. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. How many people believe God answers prayer? He says, your enemies will not triumph over you, and you will not be ashamed if you trust in him. Psalm 25, 20. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Notice all these scriptures about not being ashamed. No shame. No shame. I remember I was in a restaurant one time, and somebody said something at the table, and the waitress looked and said, shame on you. How many of you ever heard that expression before? Shame on you. If anybody says shame on you, say, no, not on me, thank you. No shame on me. Everybody say, no shame on me. You know, we should never say stuff like that. Shame on you. No, no shame on me. Shame will bind you up. Shame is a curse. Shame is oppressive. Shame keeps people from rising up and fulfilling the plan of God for their life. And there's going to be no shame on the righteous. There's going to be no shame that put their trust in God. There's going to be no shame in those who live according to the gospel and share the good news with others. I will not be put to shame. Shame will not be upon my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am not ashamed. And you know, so he says, well, you know, but if you sin, if you miss it, you know, that would cause you to be ashamed. Well, if you sin and you miss it, you confess it. You come to the Lord. You bring it to him. And you confess it to him. And you receive mercy from God. You receive forgiveness from God. You put your trust in his mercy. You come to him in faith. What's going to happen? He's going to forgive you. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to wash away all the shame. If you've confessed it, if you believe, oh, I missed it. I missed it royally. Well, don't keep going on. Don't be so impressed so that you honor missing it. And start honoring shame and exalting shame above yourself. No, begin to exalt Jesus and begin to thank him for his mercy to forgive you and to wash you and to cleanse you, and then get up and be confident and not be ashamed anymore. No more shame. Jesus took that. As surely as he forgives me, he takes the shame away. I'm not going to carry shame around. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to carry shame around. Far too many Christians walk around carrying shame around. They walk around ashamed of themselves. Well, I just don't feel like I'm living up to God's expectations of me. Well, repent of it. Repent of it and then believe God to bring you up, to raise you up, to lift you up, to get you in a place where you are fully submitted to him, fully following him. But just don't just sit there in shame, because you won't go anywhere. You'll just sink lower. Shame will just cause you to go lower and lower and lower. No, confess it and then trust him. Trust him. Trust him. By the grace of God, I'm going to fulfill the plan of God for my life. By the grace of God, I'm going to triumph in life. I will not be put to shame. I'm going over in life. I am not going under. I'm not worried about my life. God's got me covered. He's got me covered. And his mercy endures forever. Can you say amen? Amen. Some more scriptures here in Psalms. Of course, I mean, the Word of God is full of it. I couldn't possibly go through all the scriptures that talk about being ashamed, unashamed, anything to deal with shame. I mean, you can look it up in a concordance for yourself. Lots and lots of scriptures that talk about shame. I'm just hitting a few here in the book of Psalms. He says in verse 119 of Psalm 119, chapter 119, verse 6, "Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments." When I look into the word of God, I will not be ashamed. Psalm 119, verse 80, "Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed." Psalm 119, 116, "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." Praise God. You can see where the psalmist, there's a lot of concern there about being ashamed, and so he's bringing it constantly to the Lord. "Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let me be ashamed. I will not be put to shame." Praise God. I'm going to end victorious. The works of my hands are going to prosper. Even though it might not look that way at first, everything I put my hands to is going to prosper. Everything's going to turn out good. Everything's going to turn out right. Hallelujah. I am honored of God. I have favor with God. I will not be ashamed. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Come on, stand on your feet with me this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.